Bird or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stay with us here tonight, maybe even join in the conversation with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines are open toll-free, 888-677-9673. You can get on the air with us tonight. That's 888-677-9673. Well, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for another opportunity to be on the air tonight. Father, we do pray that we be a blessing, that we would be an encouragement, and that we would be a help to somebody tonight. Father, if there's somebody that needs to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ before it's everlastingly too late, we do pray that something that we talk about tonight, that the Holy Spirit of God would use to reach that person and help them to be saved even tonight. Father, thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's a beautiful night out tonight, and, you know, these are kind of those late October evenings, I guess. We're in the last half of October, another week and a half, something like that, almost 2 weeks ago, and nice crisp night out there. The stars kind of shining through a little bit, a lot of leaves still on the trees, and it's just a nice time of year. And every once in a while, when we come on the air, we'll talk about some of the things and the weather and some of the scenery and stuff driving up to the radio station. And I like to think about it, and I think as beautiful as our creation is right now, how much more beautiful it must have been before the fall. You know, God created a perfect world, and you read about that in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. But when sin came into the world, a curse was placed on the world. Bible says the whole of creation groans under the curse today. So as beautiful as our world is today, it's nothing compared to what it was like before the fall, before the curse was placed on it. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to seeing the world with the curse removed during the millennial reign of Christ. And then, of course, the new heaven and the new earth that the Bible talks about following time when the stain of sin and all of that will be removed. Well, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you. 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air toll free. We have John in Cleveland already waiting. And John, are you there?
Yes, how are you tonight?
Hey, good, very good. How are you doing this evening?
Okay, it's interesting that you mentioned Genesis 1. That was my question tonight.
All right.
I was wondering, you said some time ago that you believe that the days in Genesis 1 were 24 hours long.
Yes, absolutely.
I was wondering if you believe that planet Earth existed before day 1.
If I believe that planet Earth existed before day 1, well, let's take a look at day 1 and I'll tell you exactly what the Bible says happened. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." And I believe that on day one, God created the heaven and the earth. So the earth existed on day one. Yeah, absolutely.
So you believe that the earth was created on day one?
Absolutely. That's what I just read.
Well, I thought it said light was created.
Yeah. So it was light.
Oh,
in the beginning, God created, what did I just say? Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And it says in verse 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. So he created the heaven. He created the earth. He created light. He created at least three things on the first day.
Okay.
Yeah. So, it's pretty clear. Some days he created a lot more. On the sixth day, he created all the animals, land animals, as well as man. So he created a lot on the sixth day. On the fourth day, I think it is. The third day he created all the trees and plants and things. But go ahead.
So you believe that light and matter came into existence within a 24-hour period of time?
Well, actually, I think light and matter probably came into existence within an instant.
Okay.
I believe that God created the heaven and the earth. God exists outside of his creation. And, you know, God is the one who spoke all things into existence. Everything that exists is there because God spoke it into existence. And it's God that keeps everything in existence even today. The Bible says in... in Hebrews chapter 1 in verse 1, or it's starting there, Hebrews 1 verse 1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds. And then he goes on to say, the sentence doesn't end there. It keeps going. Verse 3, it says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. And the sentence continues on as well. But he created all things, and he upholds all things. God didn't need, billions of years to do that. God can do that instantaneously. And let me give you one more verse, and I'll let you say that. In chapter 11, in verse number 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So, I believe that. I take it by faith, because it's through faith that I understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
So am I correct in understanding that you believe that light is only 6,000 years old?
That light is only 6,000 years old? No, some light's probably only less than 6 seconds old. I mean, light's being created all the time.
I mean, do you believe the oldest light is only 6,000 years old?
Well, if the earth was created and the heavens were created 6,000 years ago, then from our perspective, that certainly would be the case.
Okay, I just wondered how old you felt the oldest light was.
I believe in a recent creation, that's true. There's a lot of evidences of a recent creation. The International Creation Research, ICR.org online, has a lot of tremendous studies done suggesting a young earth, a young creation. One of the reasons that argues against an old creation, like billions and billions of years ago, is we don't have enough visible light in the sky, in terms of the stars that you see.
Well, that's another question I wanted to ask you. If light is only 6,000 years old, how can we see stars that are billions and billions of miles away?
Well, and actually, I probably figured you were going to ask that, and that is a very good question. And one of the things, first off, you have to understand that beyond a certain distance, we really don't know how far away they are, actually. The distances given, even though I know Discovery Channel and things like that present them as fact, those distances given are actually... in most cases, estimates, and those estimates change on occasion, and we don't really know beyond a certain distance. It's very hard to be able to tell how far something really is, be that as it may, there is still the case of light that would appear to have been traveling for over 6,000 years. Another question that comes up is, has the speed of light been constant throughout all of history? And we know that scientific experiments have been done which have slowed the speed of light. light and things of that nature. So, you know, the speed of light may not have been the constant that we observe today. And then with
I've never heard that explanation
before. Oh, well, I mean, I'm just saying those are contributing factors, but at the risk of losing too many people, there's also a theory that's been put forth that when God created everything, what he created was essentially a white hole, which would be the opposite of a black hole. And a black hole, there's an event horizon, which when you hit the event horizon, everything is sucked into it, and light cannot escape. So it's just dark. You don't see any light. That's why they call it a black hole. And the theory, you know, you've got Einstein with his theory of relativity, special theory of relativity, and we know that the faster you travel, and they've shown this with experimental data showing the faster you travel, the slower time passes for you relative to somebody who's not traveling that fast. And also the closer you are to a center of mass where the gravity is stronger, I believe also has the same effect, where if you put a clock synchronized down in a deep hole in the ground, and you put another one up on top of a skyscraper, over a period of time, the one in the hole in the ground, I believe, will appear slower than the one on the skyscraper, and that has to do with relativity. And the opposite with a white hole is everything escapes out of it, and when you go through the event horizon, the passage of time of somebody within the event horizon that has not yet passed out of it, relative to the one that's in the event horizon, the passage of time would be perceived differently. And so the Earth being within the event horizon would perceive time to go by much slower than perhaps the further stars that exited the event horizon prior to the Earth. And from somebody's standpoint, if you were out on one of those stars, it would appear that time on the Earth was at a standstill. And that's getting into some arcane physics and all, and that's stuff that people bandy about. I don't have a degree in physics by any means. But there are explanations that are being looked at for, the starlight.
Well, you don't believe that the stars are traveling at the speed of light, do you?
Oh, you know, we really don't know exactly how fast they're traveling, because let me give you a good example. If you're driving down the highway at 50 miles an hour, and I'm driving down the highway at 50 miles an hour, and we're in two cars right alongside of each other going the same distance, we don't look like we're moving at all. I could reach out and shake your hand. We'd be right there, same speed, right next to each other. But if somebody else was standing alongside the highway, they'd see us zoom by at 50 miles an hour. Now, let's turn things around a little bit. If we're both heading down the highway at 50 miles an hour, and the only difference is I'm going west and you're going east, and we pass each other, to you, I would look like I was traveling 100 miles an hour, and you would look like to me like you were traveling 100 miles an hour. And the guy standing along the road would still say we're only going 50.
Yeah.
And so that's in a very simple way of looking at it, that's what happens with the passage of time when you're messing around with nearing the speed of light, when you're looking at event horizons around black stars or black holes as well as white holes and things of that nature. And
I'll let you get to your other call.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate you asking that question, because that is one of the more interesting questions that's being asked that has to be understood from the young Earth picture and the young creation, because you're absolutely right. There has to be an explanation.
So you don't believe that God could have used the Big Bang?
I think God, if you want to say, was the Big Bang, because God spoke and everything came into existence. I challenged a guy who told me he was an atheist one time, and he said, how can you believe God spoke everything into existence? You can't prove that. You can't, that's just not logical. I mean, the idea that God has always existed and you don't know anything about him, and then all of a sudden God spoke everything into existence. And I said, well, what do you believe happened? He said, well, there was a singularity. It was a point that contained everything. It had no dimensions, but it contained everything. And then suddenly it exploded in a chaotic mess and created everything out of chaos. And I said, well, where did the singularity come from? He said, well, it's always existed. And then he paused, well, and he realized what I said.
I guess my question would be, could God create a singularity?
Well, he could, but I don't believe that he did. Okay. Because when the Big Bang occurred, everything was in chaos. And you don't see the pattern that we have in Genesis chapter 1, because as you read through Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. According to the Big Bang, the earth didn't occur for billions of years. And also, according to Genesis chapter 1, the stars and the sun and the moon were not created until the fourth day. And that would go counter to the Big Bang, that's for sure.
Wouldn't they have been included in the heavens on the first day?
No, the heaven. It didn't say the heavens. It said the heaven and the earth. Oh. The heaven would be the substrate of space, the space-time substrate in which we exist. And that's the place in which the earth was placed, and that includes the concept of time, because in the beginning, there was no beginning until God created, because God exists outside of time. He's a timeless being, and so he created a universe that included the function of time. Time is integral to the substrate of the universe. I mean, we think of three dimensions, you know, length and width and height and all that. But
if you're saying that the sun and moon weren't created till the third day, where would you come up with the 24 hours for the first and second day?
Well, God created light on the first day, and God emanated light in his creation in some fashion to light the world for the first, the second, and the third day. And then in the fourth day, he made two great lights, it says in Genesis 1 and verse 16, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. So that's the creation of the sun, the greater light, the moon, the lesser light, and the stars. And
at that point,
he gave the sun, the moon, and the stars, you know, essentially the job, the role, the function of lighting the earth.
So you're saying in verse 1 when it talks about heaven that you're saying that's the function of time?
No, heaven includes time. It's like I'm sitting in this chair, which has a distinct, you know, physical three-dimensional location.
Yeah.
But there's also the time element, because somebody else was sitting in this exact chair at a different time.
Yeah.
I cannot occupy this chair at the same time as somebody else. One of us would have to move.
Yep.
And so time is essentially the fourth dimension. I mean, if I was going to meet you for coffee, I could give you the three-dimensional dimensions of where to meet. But if I don't give you the time, you might be there tomorrow and I might be there 3 days from now.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't meet. So you need that third dimension or fourth dimension of time. And all that was a part of God's creation.
Okay. I don't want to have you lose your audience. I'll let you get to the next call.
No, I appreciate that. I like a challenging call. I like a call that makes people think, you know, and I appreciate the call. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible, current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. It's like we say, we talk about anything. I like talking about science. I know I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, and I'm not supposed to read science books, and I'm not supposed to understand those things. And while I'm not a physicist by any means of the imagination, I do actually on occasion read some books talking about what's going on in physics. I find it very fascinating, because I am fascinated by God's creation, like I said at the start of the program. I look at God's creation as we see it today, and I'm aware of the fact that the whole of creation groans under the curse. I look at that and I think, wow, what would it have been like before? There has to be an ultimate cause, and I believe that ultimate cause is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as a result, I find all aspects of things out there that we can talk about, whether it's science, whether it's prophecy, whether it's history, whether it's just about anything. We've talked about it all. We've even talked about UFOs and things that go bump in the night. Maybe we'll save that next week, getting closer to Halloween, I guess. But at any rate, you give us a call, 888-677-9673. We have Keith on the line, I believe. And Keith, welcome, Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, Pastor, how you doing?
Good.
Praise the Lord. The singularity was in the beginning God.
Yeah, he was the
created.
Single singularity, yeah.
Anyway, Institute for Creation Research, founded by Henry Morris, who's now with the Lord, is very excellent, very scholarly.
Oh, absolutely.
One of the best scientists, and also the Creation Evidence Museum with Carl Ball. He even has a video, a television program out in Glen Rose, Texas, very good. But I think it was, when the Lord created Adam, he didn't create him as an egg or a little baby.
No, absolutely.
He created him as a man. So God could create the anything too hard for the Lord to create stars and light at the same time. And the light path, there's a man, I think named Sutterfield, has a theory about, and it carries some weight, that the speed of light very early on was a lot faster than it is now. And then also the Bible talks about the Lord stretching forth the heavens.
Right.
Isaiah or somewhere.
Yeah, there's a couple passages in Isaiah that talk about that.
Mm-hmm. But there's an overwhelming, the overwhelming evidence is that it is a young creation, and there's so many different natural clocks that show that.
Oh, yeah.
And many on Earth. And even when they were doing research preparing to go to the moon, I mean, they were... saying that, there'd be so much dust up there.
Right. In fact, I remember I was young when that happened. I think I was about 8 or 9 years old, about 9 when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember listening to Walter Cronkite talking about the big pads that were around and the things around on the lunar lander to hopefully keep it from sinking into, maybe as much as 20 feet of dust. And there was concern that they would get stuck there and never be able to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And when they landed, they were surprised. I remember them because it was live, and they noticed there's just like about an inch or two of dust, and they couldn't believe it. They were all shocked because the idea of a long billions of years meant that there had to have been a lot of dust there.
So, there was the amount of dust that was there actually shows a 10,000 year old or less. Moon, because they know how much dust is coming down per time period.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a whole lot of other things. There's the short-term comets that shouldn't exist if the Earth was in the solar system was as old as some people say that it is. The Earth's revolution is slowing the moon down, the distance. I'm trying to think. I'll get myself confused here. I think it's getting further away.
Well, everything is slowing down, winding down.
Yeah, and that's a part of the second law of thermodynamics, what you think of usually as entropy.
Yeah.
Things going from order to disorder. And that's one of the big problems with the Big Bang Theory, is it violates the laws of physics and says that everything goes from extreme disorder and chaos to extreme order.
Which is foolishness.
Yeah, you don't see that unless you have... energy and information being pumped into a system. If you have ever gone canoeing, when you put the paddle in the water and you pull the paddle back with a stroke, sometimes you'll see a little like whirlpool type eddy go counter to the current. Well, that's because you put energy into the system, and it soon breaks up and goes with the current. It doesn't last too long.
You know, my pastor was talking today and preaching. Of course, preaching the Word of God, but he's mentioned, and I heard a little bit of information before, that in the northern area of the sky, there's an area that's just kind of really starless, the scientists say, and there are no stars, and they can tell that with the Hubble telescope. But now they're discovering that there's like a light emanating kind of from the center of that, and it's the only place in the universe, you know, where they're saying there's no stars. And, of course, back in Isaiah, I think, it talks about
the empty space for the north, I think.
Yeah, and you know, the Lord is totally awesome, and I praise his name.
Well, and you're absolutely right. And when you look at God's creation, and we're coming up on the break here in just about a minute or so, but just because we don't understand something today doesn't mean we should throw out what the Bible has to say.
Nope.
I've been going through Revelation in our Sunday school, Sunday morning service, and we were talking about the 200 million man army. And really, up until the 1800s, people used to say, well, that can't possibly be so, because it was until really relatively recently the Earth's population didn't exceed 200 million. Mm-hmm. And people said, oh, how could that be? Well, obviously today we know that China alone could put out a 200 million man army if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. And so just because we do not understand something with our limited knowledge doesn't mean that we should fall guilty of what Paul warned Timothy about, science falsely so called.
Yep.
And, you know, God's creation is endlessly fascinating. It's tremendous. Yeah. And that's why most of the great thinkers and movers and shakers in science in the past were actually people who believed in
Amen.
God.
Even founders of the many fields of science.
Newton was a Bible believer, and he actually wrote more about the Bible than he wrote about physics.
Amen. And, take care, Pastor.
All right. Well, I appreciate your call. Right, thank you very much, and stay tuned for the second half.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join in the conversation with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. Of course, we're brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. We're also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road in North Royalton, right there in the center of North Royalton. And you can contact Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m. And let them know you heard about them right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, we've had some conversation in the last half talking about creation and a young creation of the heavens and the earth versus billions of years, whether God created it directly versus Big Bang Theory. And the Big Bang Theory, of course, is just one of many theories that secular scientists have used to try and explain away the Bible. But let me give you a website that we mentioned in passing called creationastronomy.com. That's creationastronomy.com. It's all one word, creationastronomy.com. And they have a lot of information on there. The guy that runs that, if I remember correctly, was an atheist, and he worked for the United States Air Force and in their space program. And the more he learned about the solar system, the more he became convinced that God created it. And now he's a Christian. And he has a great website, creationastronomy.com, has some tremendous videos available about our created solar system, which I've seen, and I would heartily recommend it. And it's subtitled, What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy. And then he's now got a second one that I just realized that he's got called Our Created Stars and Galaxies. And again, subtitled, What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy. And the reason I mention that subtitle is when you go to the local bookstore and you get a book on astronomy, or you get a book on biology, or you get a book on this, that, or the other dealing with science, some of these things dealing with science, fossils and all this sort of stuff, there's a lot you're not being told. I can remember when I went to Colorado State University back in 1979, and I was taking a course we studied evolution, and it was an introductory biology course before I got into some of my other biology-related courses. And in this first course, the professor, who was an avid evolutionist who rejected the Bible account of creation, as she put up on the screen the chart of the evolution of the horse, which I'm sure most of you listening have heard or seen this, where it shows this little animal that has more than one toe and how it over millions of years grew to be a larger animal with only one toe. And that's the evolution of the modern horse. Well, she showed that. Now, keep in mind, this is Colorado State University. This was probably about 1979, 1980. And the professor was an evolutionist teaching evolution, put that on the screen and said, you've all seen this in high school biology classes, so there's only one problem with it. It's not true. Everybody's kind of looking at each other. Here's this evolutionist telling us that this chart that we'd all been told represents the evolution of the horse is not true. And she said, the reason we show it and tell people in high school that this is how the horse evolved is because it shows what we want them to know and learn, and we don't have anything better. Now, think about that. She said, we don't have anything better. Now, you have to question, if you're at least intellectually honest, or at least halfway intellectually honest, why, when you have a system that's dependent on fooling people at one level with something they admit is false, that they use that to teach a theory that can't be proven because they don't have anything better. And, you know, a lot of supposed proofs of evolution, everything from the leftover organs and parts of the body to the supposed going through the stages of evolution with the development of the fetus and things of that nature. All of those things have all been proven to be false, and in many cases, like the charts and the figures and pictures, illustrations supposedly drawn from actual embryos and things like that, showing the evolution through the fish stage to the amphibian stage to the reptile stage to the mammal stage of the human embryo. Those were later, even though they were still being taught in high school biology classes and possibly still are, they were shown to be false. The guy that drew those pictures admittedly faked the pictures. He adjusted them to make things look differently than what they really were to push his theory, or to push the theory of evolution. And some of the theories of various early missing links and early forms of man, Piltdown man, for instance, was built entirely, this whole forerunner of modern man was built entirely out of the tooth of a pig. And I've known some people that at dinner we thought they might have been acting a bit like a pig, but I don't think they were Piltdown man. And, you know, there's just things like that that have all been used to push a theory that is just exactly that, a theory. And in many respects, it's not a good theory. But creation science, or I'm sorry, creationastronomy.com, great couple of videos there. And also, let me point you out to the Akron Fossil and Science Museum, a little closer to home here, Akron Fossil and Science Center, I should say. And you can find them online at akronfossils.com. That's akronfossils.com. They're located in Copley, Ohio, Cleveland, Massillon, and Minor Roads. It's just off State Route 21, just east of Cleveland, or Akron, south of Cleveland, and probably pretty close for most of our listeners if you can't get down to the big Creation Museum down in northern Kentucky. And they've got a lot of resources there. In fact, November 3rd, they have their 8th annual silent auction at dinner. If you go onto their website, akronfossils.com, you can learn about that as well. But a great resource here close at home. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air. I think we just had somebody, but we just lost them. If that was you and you lost the connection, give us a call back. And while we wait for that call back, let me also mention, changing subjects here somewhat, I've got a couple of ebooks available, and I'm trying to get our site revamped for the radio program here, Late Night Live. MapleKnoll.us. In fact, you can now just enter live.MapleKnoll.us. And the reason Maple Knoll is in there is a long story, but it kind of goes back to our website that we have. And if you go to live.MapleKnoll.us, and you can find out how to get our ebook, The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War, subtitled Setting the Stage for the Rise of the Antichrist and the Coming Ezekiel 38 Invasion of Israel. And also have available as an ebook now as well, Who is this Jesus? A look at the nature and work of Jesus Christ. And those are published via smashwords.com. That's smashwords.com. If you go there and you search for either the coming Arab-Israeli nuclear war or my name, you'll get that there. But we got lots of calls coming in now. And let's see, who do we got first here? We got our call screeners backed up a little bit here, but we'll get to our first caller here in just a few moments. But all right, who do we got first there? We've got George, and George, you're there, and you're on Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
Amen.
I've got a question here. What I really want to ask, what is a Christian?
What is a Christian? That's actually a good question, because you see everything from a political party. Like in Germany, I think they have the Christian Democrat Party, and you'd be called a Christian there. Christian was first applied to the followers of Jesus Christ in Antioch in Syria. And you remember the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 13 was there when he went out on his first missionary journey. And the term Christian was coined actually not by the early believers, but by their non-believers, because they said these people act like Christ, which, you know, is good, because Jesus said that we should be, you know, the Bible says we should be conformed to the image of Christ. And so the term Christian, meaning Christ-like, was applied to them. A Christian, really biblically, is a person who has recognized their sin, recognized that they're a sinner, and that they deserve the wages of sin, which is death, and more than just physical death, but spiritual death in the lake of fire for all eternity. And it's somebody who realizes that and has believed that Jesus Christ, as God in the flesh, went to the cross where he shed his blood and took our punishment for our sin on himself. He died in our place, shed his blood to pay for our sins, and we believe that that punishment or that payment was sufficient, because he rose again victorious over sin and death. And so we believe that he did that for us. And when we go to God and we confess our sin, the fact that we've sinned and come short of his glory, and we trust Christ as our Savior, not our church, not our good works or anything, but Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross, when we do that, the Bible says that God saves us. We become born again, as Jesus said in John chapter 3, and our old sin nature is done away with, our old nature, our old spirit, rather, is done away with. We receive a new spirit, and we are washed in the blood of Christ. Our sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in us. We become his child. We become a saint of God. We become a part of the bride of Christ. And that's what a true Christian is. But there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians because, well, they're not Mormon. Or, I'm sorry, they're not Muslim. They're not Jewish. They're not a Buddhist or Shinto or something. So they call themselves Christian. They go to a church rather than a synagogue or a mosque, so they must be a Christian. But they're really not born again. And so go ahead.
You know what? I can appreciate what you said, because I think about in 1973, the Supreme Court legalized abortion.
Uh-huh.
I didn't hear nothing from no Christians.
Well, were out there, but unfortunately at that time, a lot of Christians, and I'm talking about born-again Christians rather than, you know, people who just call themselves Christians, there are a lot of true Christians who didn't want to get involved in the political realm. A lot of them thought that that was the wrong thing to do, and then, of course, there were other people who called themselves Christians who were not truly born-again, not really true Christians. They also echoed those thoughts, and so Christians largely sat on the sidelines, and as a result of the legalization of abortion in this country, though, Christians began to get involved and began to, make themselves known. And so Christians are a lot more involved in the world around them today than they were at that time, politically speaking.
All right. So now let me say this. According to the explanation I just received from you, we got Christians and we got born-again Christians.
Absolutely. And I use that term to distinguish because let me give you an example. President Bill Clinton was a Southern Baptist. And being a Southern Baptist does not make you a Christian. But he called himself a Christian. He identified with the Christian church, the Southern Baptist church. In fact, I once knew a lady who knew him when he was a young man in that church in Arkansas. And she said he was a nice young man. But see, if he did not put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ as his Savior and was not genuinely born again, then he would have been Christian in name only. And, you know, I don't want to judge him, you know, as whether or not he did that. But, you know, we all know about the Monica Lewinsky scandal and things like that. And Christians can, you know, stumble and fall into sin. That's true. But it could be that he could be an instance of somebody who identified himself as being a Christian because he went to a Christian church. And it may be that he was never born again.
All right. You know what? You really opened my eyes to something. You know, because I listened to a minister, and he said that in 2010, he had 800,000 people that marched in Washington for pro-life.
Uh-huh.
2011, he said he had over a million.
Mm-hmm.
In 2012, he had over 600,000.
Hmm.
And I'm wondering now, well, all these people are Christians, and he declares himself as being a Christian.
Well,
I said, well, it has to be something wrong here.
Yeah, and some may be Christians and some might not be. They just might identify. For instance, there's a lot of people, and this is one of the reasons that I'm not a member of some of these denominational churches out there, because some churches, they run kids through a catechism class. And then after they go through the catechism class, they baptize them as a baby or something, and they run them through a catechism class, and they say, well, you're a Christian. And so they've been told by their church that they're a Christian, but they've never been born again. John chapter 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was a religious leader, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And, you know, he began to elaborate on that. And so there are a lot of people in a lot of churches, they've had water put on them when they were a child, and they've been run through a catechism class, but there's never a point in their life where they've entered into a personal relationship with God where they've said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. And I believe that the only way I can escape it is by taking advantage of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus died for me personally and paid for my sins, and I accept that payment. And when we turn to him in faith and we say, you know what, my baptism wasn't good enough, my church membership's not good enough, my good works aren't good enough, there's nothing that I can do. I can only turn to Jesus Christ and what he did. That's the only thing that'll avail. And when we do that, then we become born again. And until that happens, we might call ourselves Christian all we want to, but we're in danger of dying and standing before Jesus and hearing him say what he said. There's going to be some that stand before him and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done all these things in your name? And he says, depart from me, for I never knew you. So there's a lot of people, you know, straight as the gate, the Bible says, but, you know, the broad way that leads to destruction. And unfortunately, there's another thing, too, that people have done is get people to pray a prayer as if it's a magical formula when the people don't even know what they're praying. Here's some verses. Pray this prayer. Bingo, you're a Christian. Now go out and be happy.
That's it. I believe, James 5:16?
Hmm.
The effectual fervent prayer.
Yes, of a righteous man availeth much.
That's it.
Yeah, but you know, you can pray all you want to and just say empty words. I was led to pray a prayer twice when I was younger. When I got saved, I remember going forward. They said, pray this prayer and you're saved. And I wasn't saved. And I just realized I got a lot of calls yet to go here, but and 5 minutes to go. But you're absolutely right. We need to be sure of that. There's got to be repentance. There's got to be a genuine godly sorrow and conviction over your sin and knowing that you need a Savior. And then you turn to Christ as your only hope. If you can think your church is going to do it or your baptism is going to do it, you're probably not saved. You got to turn to Christ and Christ alone. He's the one that shed his blood on the cross. But I appreciate that question there, George. And I have to call back. Maybe we can explore this at length some more. Appreciate that. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we have John in Cleveland coming in.
Hello.
Hello, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi. Got just a couple minutes. Have to make it quick.
All right, I just want to make a quick comment. Thanks for that website. I'm really looking forward to looking at that. I wanted to mention a man's name. If anybody goes to YouTube, they can look him up. He's got tons of videos. A man named Dr. Kent Hovind. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Oh, yeah, Kent Hovind, and I don't know the name, but if you Google him, you might find him. His son, actually, has taken over the ministry. And there's some good information out there. But there's a lot of good information out there, different sources. And you can start from some of those websites. But I appreciate that information. Thank you.
Okay. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. God bless. And we've got, let's see, we've got Mike in Cleveland next, I believe. And Mike, welcome.
Yes, Pastor Al. I got a question about the different versions of the Bible. The King James.
Mm-hmm.
That's what was brought over here by the Pilgrims. Is that correct, from England?
Actually, the Pilgrims brought over the Geneva Bible. The Geneva Bible was one of the precursors to the King James. I'm kind of hurrying because we got about 3 minutes before we end. And there's a series of Bibles, the Geneva being the last one prior to the King James. You go back to Wycliffe and Tyndale and Coverdale and different ones like that. And the Geneva Bible is probably the closest to the King James today. The benefit of the King James is that the English language was much more standardized when the King James was put together than when the Geneva was put together. But both the Geneva and the King James come from the Hebrew Masoretic text, which is what the Jewish people always traditionally used and the early church used, as well as the received text for the Greek New Testament. And the modern translations, New American Standard, New International Version, etc., even the New King James, do not come from those texts. They come from altered texts that date back to Alexandria, Egypt. And that's a kind of a long story there, but two separate streams of manuscripts. And that's one of the reasons I use the King James, because it is true to the Hebrew Masoretic text and the Greek received text.
Today we've got 50 some different versions in today. Isn't that confusing to people?
And that goes in line with what the devil did in Genesis chapter 3. His first attack was, "Yea, hath God said."
Yes.
And that's why I do not recommend or use the modern versions, because they do not come from the Hebrew Masoretic text or the Greek Textus Receptus.
You're in Revelation, and anybody that adds or detracts from this, his condemnation will be worse.
Exactly. That's a pretty serious warning. That's a pretty serious warning. Yeah.
And you've got these charismatic preachers telling this prosperity preachers on TV. Mm-hmm. And this one particular, I'll let you go, he got on Larry King's show and he asked him, the man from Texas, a young man that took over his dad's ministry, and he said to him, "Well, how many ways are," he said, "there's many ways to Jesus Christ." And here he never mentions the salvation message.
That's a problem. We're out of time. I appreciate your comments there. And just want to let people know that, you know, Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And if you want to get to heaven, if you want to be a true Christian, you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. If you're trusting in your baptism, if you're trusting in your church membership, if you're trusting in your good works, your good name, or anything, that's it. You're trusting in the wrong thing. Christ and Christ alone. Thanks for listening. Sorry we didn't get our other callers on. Join us again next week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late